I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome to a happy Thursday across America. Michael Eaves here on Barton Hahn. No, not Alan Hahn. Michael Eaves in with Bart Scott today. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and of course, your smart speaker. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And yo, Bart, first of all, we got a lot to get to with NFL free agency and dudes trying to cash in on their bags, and I'm with that. But this is a first for you and I, dog. Like, we've never worked together. I don't think I've even done an interview with you on SportsCenter or anything, man. What's up, player?
I know, man. It's like seeing the legend, the man, the myth, the legend, man. I'm excited, man. Listen, you drive this, I'm going to be the ultimate wingman.
Hey,
Hanging out the window, telling the girls to come to the car. What's up? Ain't no scrubs over here. I got my own car too, baby.
Hey, I'll drive us to the club and to the restaurant. You just pick up the tab. You good?
I'm balling on the budget.
My man. All right, again, so a lot to get to with NFL free agency. Damien Woody's going to join us coming up a little bit later. Matt Miller's going to join us as well. Get into the draft aspect of how the free agency and the draft go hand in hand in this NFL offseason. But we do have some news to get to relative to the NFL, and it's of a very serious nature. A third civil lawsuit has been filed against Deshaun Watson, accusing the Texans quarterback of sexually assaulting a massage therapist by allegedly forcing her to have oral sex with him in December of 2020. The lawsuit was filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby on Wednesday night. This is the third civil case filed against Watson this week. The previous two lawsuits were related to two separate incidents during which he is accused of committing civil assault by touching a massage therapist with his penis. Busby said on Instagram Wednesday night that there are six total cases against Watson. So far, though, only three lawsuits have been filed. And again, Bart, these are very serious allegations being levied against Deshaun Watson, all of whom to this point he has denied their validity. But again, it's just more, for lack of a better term right now, drama around what is going on with this franchise and its marquee player right now in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one. You know, as more allegations come out, listen, I'm going to wait till the due process. Like I said this morning, Deshaun Watson has a lot of character equity that's built up. From everything that you can see, he's an outstanding young man. And this is something that, unfortunately, he has to go through. But, you know, that's what investigations are for, and we'll get to it. You know, he has a lot on his mind right now. I mean, we'll see where he lands, still trying to get away from, you know, the Houston Texans and be able to try go and play in the organization. But that just adds to the dysfunction that the Houston Texans have had this offseason. Just a lot of stuff going on, and this is just another, you know, another log on the fire, so to speak.
And again, as you said, an investigation will take place from the NFL. And unfortunately, the NFL has a lot of experience in dealing with these particular types of situations over the last couple of years. So the protocol is there for them to do their due diligence as this plays out potentially in a civil lawsuit. But there is the football impact on Deshaun Watson, potentially. Of course, he wants to leave Houston. The Texans have not orchestrated any type of trade for him right now. So if you are other teams and you're looking at Deshaun Watson, now these allegations have come out. How do you view him and a potential situation where you would be willing to give up something to bring him to your team? Mike Tannenbaum, our resident GM, gave up some pretty good insight into what he would do if he were GM or in another team right now.
You can continue to show interest and you want to monitor the situation carefully. You're going to obviously alert your security department. They're going to try to do their own investigation. If you actually have permission from the Houston Texans, if things heat up enough, you could actually get NFL security involved. So it just raises the bar of scrutiny. These are just allegations. You hope for Deshaun Watson they're not true, but they are serious. And ultimately, you have to be able, from a GM perspective, to walk into your head coach's office, to walk into your owner's office and say, hey, we've done the work, we've done the background, we're still comfortable making this trade because of X, Y, and Z. So you are proceeding, but you are proceeding with caution.
And again, Bart, that speaks to what has been happening in the NFL over the last couple of years. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, there have been other situations similar to this where teams have had to do that same due diligence to make up their own mind if this particular player is right for their particular organization in the wake of those allegations. And you made a very good point as it relates to Deshaun Watson specifically, is that he has built up some character equity since he's been in the league and even before he got there coming out of Clemson. But still, these allegations are serious. They have to be taken as such, and how it plays out will largely depend on the investigation that the NFL puts forward.
Yeah, and football would be the least of his worries if these allegations are found to be true. And that's what you have to consider as well. When you go in, you have to. We all understand what you're going to be giving up. You know, you get giving up potentially 3 first-round draft picks and banking your future on Deshaun Watson. With that being said, you have to go talk to your owner, and everybody has to be comfortable with a move like this, because this is the type of move that can that if it's done wrong, and if these things come back, then you're stuck with a player that you can't play, that may be suspended or may be jailed. So you have to proceed with caution, make sure that you do your due diligence. You use NFL security, also, you know, your own private investigators to try and get a sense, because if this is going to take place, you're going to have to make this decision potentially before the NFL draft, which is only a couple of months. Well, we know that the litigation doesn't, you know, move at the pace of the NFL. We know the NFL is, you know, a big business, but, you know, justice isn't going to, you know, move at the NFL pace. It's going to move at its pace. And you could potentially have him on a commissioner's exempt list and have, you know, a player that you spent a lot of money on and a lot of draft equity on that you can't even utilize. So then what do you say to your owners and what do you say to your fan base?
Exactly. And again, those are all the questions that are going to be surrounding this situation as it relates to Deshaun Watson. Again, if you missed the news, a third civil lawsuit has been filed against Watson, accusing him of sexual assault. And the attorney who filed these lawsuits, said that there are a total of 6 cases, but again, only 3 have been filed. We will continue to follow this story here on ESPN Radio and SportsCenter throughout the day. But as it relates to the league as a whole right now, Bart, free agency clearly is the big talking point as teams sort of restructure some of their rosters as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. We'll talk about that in a moment with Matt Miller. But a couple of names out there that haven't landed a team right now as early as some people thought they would have been, and it's at the wide receiver position. Juju Smith-Schuster and Kenny Golladay, they still don't have spots to go to right now. How surprised are you that those two particular players at that position still don't have a team yet?
I'm extremely surprised, right? You see guys like Corey Davis, you see A.J. Green, you see the spinning, you talk about, you know, teams with new players. I mean, New England probably has a whole, you know, 50% turnover at their squad right now, which is crazy, man. So, you know, you look at what's going on and you say, okay, well, you know, Kenny Golladay was the number one player on the market. What's going on with him? Well, he's choosing between the Bengals and the Giants. Like, are you kidding me? For the number one receiver in the market? And I think what's happening is, in this unsure market with the salary cap that's dropped, I think that teams are saying, you know what, we're going to wait and let the market determine how much these receivers are getting. We're not going to look at Michael Thomas's contract. We're not going to look at DeAndre Hopkins' contract. We're going to decide what the market is today and understanding that we can get max value with all the guys out there right now. I mean, you got Juju, who's only 24 years old. He's still struggling to get a contract or to get the numbers or the years that they want. And it begs the question to me, are some of these receivers still on the market simply because the class coming in is so damn good? You know, Michael, it used to be a time in football where the easiest position to translate from college to the pros was simply the running back position, because it was all about ground and pound. Everybody ran the ball 30, 40 times. But now the evolution of the game, things have changed. So now you look up what's going on now. Now you see that the ball is thrown 30, 40 times a game. So what happens is you have quarterbacks that are better in the passing game coming out of college. Mm-hmm. You have receivers that are more depth in playing multiple positions and getting off the press coverage and being able to read the rotation of the safeties. The passing game has gotten a lot more complex. So now just all you have to do is look at the draft class from last year, from CeeDee Lamb to a Uke to – you know, Jerry Jeudy.
To all the receivers that came out and balled out last year, this class is arguably better, which I believe is going to suppress the expensive veteran market.
Well, based on that point alone, let's go to the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller joins us now. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Matt, as we look at this draft class, and we're going to talk about the receiver specifically based on what Bart was just saying, how it could be impacting the current free agent market, how strong is the wide receiving class in this particular draft?
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's strong. I think the one thing that we are running into now is every other receiver class is strong. So people are like, oh, my gosh, this is the best receiver class ever. When the reality is, like, last year's receiver class, I do think had a lot more depth. And there's some nuance that you have to add in when you talk about that. So last year, a lot more depth with 7-8 first-round grades on the receiver class. This year, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU, Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle from Alabama. Those are top-tier dudes. They would have been probably, you know, in the top discussion last year as well. Ja'Marr Chase would have been my number one receiver last year. Devontae Smith would have been in that conversation over Jerry Jeudy. What we don't have this year is that next wave. We don't have a Justin Jefferson. We don't necessarily have even, I wasn't a huge fan of where Jalen Reagor went, but Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, players like that who came off the board in round two and were very, very good as rookies, could have easily been first round picks. So this year, there is more of that drop off. There's the big three, just like last year. They will probably all three be top 15 picks, but then there is a pretty significant drop off, which does make it surprising that we've seen, you know, Kenny Galladay's hanging out there, Juju Smith-Schuster still there, that we haven't seen those guys come off the board just yet.
But isn't guys like Bateman the next wave, right? Guys who opted out last year that we couldn't project and see their growth. You know, players have tremendous growth and develop and improve by leaps and bounds when they have a season. A lot of guys opted out that would have gone into this year with high expectations and be able to really show it. So I think, you know, this is teams really leaning on top of their scouting department saying, hey, man, who can we steal that nobody may know about because we've done our due diligence or because we have area scouts in that area that's been on these guys for a long time?
Oh, for sure. I mean, look, Michael Thomas, second-round pick at Ohio State. A.J. Brown, second-round pick out of Ole Miss. And they are two of the brighter young wide receivers in the game. So I also think that there's a movement in the NFL right now, like you guys were saying, similar to the running back position of how valuable is a wide receiver? Do you take a wide receiver in the top 10? Because we can go back to the last 10 years of wide receivers being drafted in the top 10. If your name's not Julio Jones and A.J. Green, and that was 11 years ago, there haven't been that many hits as far as early round picks at the wide receiver position. So I do think teams are also seeing it as, this is a very expensive position. If we can build out a wide receiver room with second, third, fourth round picks instead of first round pick, first round pick, first round pick, you now have a cheaper roster. You can spend some of that money elsewhere when, you know, you're able to find Hunter Renfrow in the fifth round and you're able to find sleepers, you know, like Tim Patrick with the Broncos. You can find players that can be very good in your scheme and find that fit where you don't. Ja'Marr Chase is a great player, but you don't have to draft him at three to have a good wide receiver room. You can draft someone in the second round. DK Metcalf was the 64th pick in the draft. You can wait and find good receivers.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst and founder of the Draft Scout, joining us here on ESPN Radio. Barton Hahn. Michael Lee's in for Alan Hahn today. But Matt, let me ask you this, though, and you brought up the history, and that is a good point in terms of the value you can put on certain positions. But the way the league has evolved, even over the last 5 years, in terms of the added value now on the quarterback position, right? So you got to have a good quarterback, so you got to have a good offensive line. Opposing teams got to have a good defensive line to sort of get pressure on that quarterback. But if the quarterback doesn't have anybody to throw to, what does it matter if he's protected or not? So based on how the league has evolved, doesn't that add even more value to that wide receiver position as it relates to the draft in 2021?
You would think so, but it's working opposite of that. I think because also now teams know that they need four good wide receivers. It's not like it used to be where you need a wide receiver one, and then you can kind of limp by with a couple other guys. You need three or four of these players now. So I think that's why we do see a little bit of a change in value of, hey, I have to build out a room of these players. I need four on the field and a pass-catching tight end, or I need three, a tight end and a back who can catch. So I think that is why we're seeing the value spread out more. And like last year, I was one of the people last year, this time of year, saying we have three wide receivers who should all be top 10 picks. Henry Ruggs was the 12th pick. Jerry Jeudy was the 15th. CeeDee Lamb was 18th. So we didn't see that run on those guys. And I think, you know, Ja'Marr Chase might be the exception because he's like a sawed-off Julio Jones at 6 foot tall, 208 pounds. But You know, Devontae Smith's 175 pounds. Bart would have killed him if he went over the middle.
Like, night, night. Like we that, call that night night sauce.
Right? They can't. 175 pounds, that's Marvin Harrison. Who else has been 6 foot, 6 foot one, 175 pounds? There's not a precedent for a player of that size having success in the NFL. I'm not saying Devontae Smith won't have success, but the draft is about calculating your risk. So you look at precedents. Is there a precedent for a player like this having success if drafted this early? And I think that will hurt Devontae Smith. It will hurt Jalen Waddle that he had an injury this year and really never had that superstar year of production. It's good news for the teams like the Giants at 11, who could be looking at a wide receiver. Could be good news for the Patriots at 15 if they don't trade up to get a quarterback. So if you're not in the top 10, okay, you're not getting Kyle Pitts, you're not getting Ja'Marr Chase, you can still get a good receiver because it's just not seen as a premium position, like you're saying, quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher. Those are going to go early. Wide receiver, it's getting moved down the list a little bit.
Well, speaking of the highest paid athletes in all the sports, the quarterback position, when you look at this field, you know, we know we're talking about Russell Wilson. We're talking about Deshaun Watson potentially being moved. We know if a team is going to move off of those players, it's because they see something in one of these other quarterbacks not named Trevor Lawrence. Can you explain to me the difference between Trey Lance and Zach Wilson as far as what they are potentially capable to do at the next level?
Yeah, you know, they're both similar in that they're, you know, they're able to move off their spot. I wouldn't call them scramblers necessarily, but they're agile enough and athletic enough to move and create passing lanes to extend the play. I think the difference that we're going to see is Zach Wilson was a three-year starter. Trey Lance was a one-year starter at North Dakota State. So he's played 17 games, where Zach's played, I want to say, 33. I think the big key will be Zach Wilson has a style of play where I call them YOLO balls, where he'll drift, he'll extend the play, and then he'll chuck the ball down the field and be like, my dude is coming down with this football. That works for him. But does that translate to the next level? Whereas Trey Lance, 16 games in 2019, did not turn the ball over. He did not throw an interception in 2019. Now, it is a very run-heavy scheme at North Dakota State. It's very pro-style. But still, he's a conservative passer. You don't see that very often for a redshirt freshman, by the way, to be given the keys to say, you can make checks at the line, you can audible, and just go out there and play football, and he didn't throw an interception. So I think with Zach Wilson, it's more of that gunslinger mentality of, I'm a playmaker, and I'm the best player on the field every time I'm out here in the Mountain West, and I am going to make plays. With Trey Lance, it's more of, I think it is a little bit more, schematic in terms of, yes, he can move. He's 6'3", 225. He's a very good runner. He's very powerful. But he plays within the framework of his offense a little bit better. So I actually think Trey Lance is a little more NFL-ready than Zach Wilson would be because of the concepts, because he was asked to play within the framework of the offense, whereas Zach, it was more like, okay, man, like we don't have a lot going on here. Just go play almost backyard football. So I think that's probably the biggest difference I see right now.
Hey, no surprise that a quarterback out of seemingly nowhere all of a sudden is a top 10 pick. Every year it happens because teams talk themselves into doing it. I'm not saying Trey Lance is not that guy, but it always happens that there's some quarterback seemingly out of nowhere that, oh yeah, now he's going to be the future of some NFL roster. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL analyst. Appreciate the time, brother. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, that was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And Bart, I'm going to say something maybe blasphemous. For someone who does what I do for a living and maybe even on this network. In some ways, Bart, there's way too much stuff put on the draft. Yeah. Way too much stuff put on the draft because, one, none of us know, okay? None of us know how great these players are going to be. So if we're arguing who should be the seventh pick versus the eighth pick, they should go to this team versus the team, we're all guessing. We're all playing a lottery to some degree. You can have educated guesses, but they are guesses nonetheless. And the thing that bothers me the most about the draft is that how teams will talk themselves into hyping up a quarterback in particular who had all this time in college to show us who he was or who he wasn't, but all of a sudden as we get closer and closer to the draft, all of a sudden this guy is a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, because he wins the Underwear Olympics, right? He goes in and he's been practicing this route tree and this performance probably for 2 months. They call out he has his pro day, and everything is, oh, we didn't see a ball hit the ground. Well, I ain't seen no damn defenders out there either.
Right.
I didn't see the pressure to go down and score in two minute football. I didn't see, how you go down and close the half out, being able to try and set your team up for field goals before the draft. I mean, before the halftime. So, you know, it's one of these things where that's just part of the process. I think we put too much value in it. I think, really, the teams that are usually winners. That's why we see the same guys up in the top 10, the same teams, you know, because they go out and they talk themselves into this is the guy that's going to change it for us, and it rarely ever happens. That's why the law of averages tell you that if you have a team that has a lot of second, third, or fourth round draft picks on it, then you've done a good job, because those are the ones that steals. Those are the guys that you get, you develop, and it's about being able to have a farm system. The NFL is the only sport that really doesn't have a farm system. When you think about another league that you can put them in to groom them if they're not ready to play, but if you believe in them and think that they can then learn, that you can put them in and teach them. We used to have NFL Europe, right? You think about basketball, they got the G League. You think about baseball, they got the minors. You know, no such thing for the NFL.
And that is a problem, clearly. But I don't know. Look, if you're a professional team, that's your job. But I think they get so caught up in the hype.
Yep.
And the fact that, look, let me say this. It is the most valuable position to a team's ultimate success. I understand that. And because of that, Bart, that's why oftentimes these bad decisions are made. But based on the fact that so many of them have been made through history, I just thought teams would be better at making better decisions at this point. But, you know, look, everybody wants to win, and they think if they don't get something, they're going to miss out, right? It's like the new Yeezys come out. You don't get the Yeezys, you're missing out. So let me go get Trey Lance real quick. Who in the hell is Trey Lance? No disrespect. No disrespect. I think Trey Lance is a better quarterback than Yeezys are a shoe. But that's the feeling. If you don't get it, you may be missing out on something. That, to me, is why the draft always gets into some of these issues as it relates to players. Time now, though, Bart, for a word for DraftKings.
Absolutely. The tournament is finally here, and DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And when you enter the free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you can get a shot of winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of your tournament. Get in on all the action. Get in on all this weekend's action. Download the DraftKings app and enter the promo code BART during the sign up to get a free shot at $1 million survivor pool. That's promo code BART to enter into the DraftKings free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility restrictions apply. Terms and conditions. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Plenty more NFL discussion to come. Damian Woody's coming up a little bit later, but Washington and Arizona making some signings. Are they contenders? Not just for the division, clearly, but maybe a deeper run into the playoff? That's all coming up next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith is left, Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton. But when you look at Devontae Smith, who won the Heisman, he's going to be a stud. Jamar Chase.
Who?
What? Jamar is a Lamar. University of Middle Tennessee.
Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. Michael Lee's in for Alan Han, along with Bart Scott. You can join the conversation. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Or if you're feeling frisky, hit us on Twitter, at BartScott57, at Michael Eaves. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. Bart, we were talking a little bit earlier about the wide receiver free agent market right now and how it could be impacted as well by what could happen with the upcoming draft. But there's two guys out there right now that, again, we were saying earlier, it's a little surprised they haven't found a home yet. That's Juju Smith-Schuster and Kenny Galladay. Now, both of them, though, have interest from teams in New York. Schuster's supposed to be having a conversation with the Jets, Galladay with the Giants. Let's start with Juju potentially going to the Jets. If that does happen, what does that do for that team?
I mean, that gives them some tough guys, right? You know, you think about Corey Davis already being added. You talk about Robert Saleh coming from the Kyle Shanahan tree and what that means, Mike LaFleur, what that means. You have receivers that can block in space that are tough, that can go across the middle, the play action pass, you know, being able to run speedos and things of that sort. This gives them the type of body types and the type of skill set that they need to be multiple. And being able to run and do that zone cutting, you know, running. And Juju showed something last year that he can play inside of the slot. Last year, he's in the slot. Now, that would spell bad news for Jameson Crowder, who's been one of the Jets' most reliable receivers. But that also frees up, I believe, $6 million for the Jets if they let him go. They're not going to let him go without having some insurance because he's been a good, durable player for them. But Juju would be a good signing, and I think that would be something that if I'm a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, if I'm a quarterback like Russell Wilson, I might say, you know what, the Jets are doing something over there. Maybe, just maybe, I can go over there and I can have some good skill position players and be able to be successful.
Again, of course, the Jets have the number two overall pick. There's been a lot of speculation whether they trade down from that pick to get multiple picks, or do they go for another quarterback instead of booking that Sam Darnold is the guy for the future. And this may be a bit of a stretch here, Bart, but if you sign a player like Juju Smith-Schuster to come in at the wide receiver spot, what impact would it have on you if you were deciding what to do with that number two overall pick? Is it Sam Darnold and Juju this we're going to go? Or it's like, you know what, Juju's a piece, but we need more guys as well, so let's trade down.
Well, this is the thing, right? Because if the whole Deshaun Watson thing is going to be, you know, become something, it's going to be before the draft. If Russell Wilson's going to be traded, it's going to be before the draft. So you're going to have two plans up. You're going to have one plan with Sam Darnold. You're going to have one plan without Sam Darnold. And that doesn't just mean a plan without Sam Darnold or a plan, you know, with them, because it could also be Zach Wilson. You could decide to say, you know what, I'm going to reset the clock. I'm going to get me a young, cheap quarterback, and I'll be looking for a backup quarterback to kind of start in his place. But, you know, for me, that was signal that, hey, we're trying to make a splash. And much like the New York Knicks in this town, show everybody that we're not a clown show. Show everybody that we're a professional outfit and that it's safe to come to New York because New York is building something. They have a lot of money. They haven't spent recklessly at all.
Right.
So they have 9 picks and they have a boatload of money. And I think they're waiting to that second tier and get the quality as far as trying to make that big splash and say, hey, I won day one like the Patriots did winning day one. So I think it's a lot of different scenarios that they can have. We'll see what Joe Douglas decides to go with.
And let's be fair, like no matter who the quarterback is, you need somebody to throw it to. And if you can get someone like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's come from a quality organization in the Pittsburgh Steelers, how is that not a plus to what you're trying to do there with the Jets in New York? Barton Hahn, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. All right, let's move to the Giants and Kenny Galladay, because he also has some interest from the Bengals. So from his standpoint, are you trying to have passes thrown to you from Daniel Jones, or do you want Joe Burrow throwing them to you? But as the Giants are looking forward, look, they've got a really good running back there, obviously, in Saquon Barkley coming off injury. What's that question going to be? They believe they have their quarterback going forward. So how are you trying to look at a position like the wide receiver, Bart, if you're the Giants, in terms of how that's going to impact your immediate future?
Well, they know they need one, right?
Yeah.
They definitely need one, and they let Golden Tate go because he wasn't the type of receiver that they need. They want a big number one receiver that can stretch the field. Sterling Shepard is kind of their intermediate, you know, tough guy. You got Ingram that's trying to stretch the field and try, you know, win inside of the numbers. But you need somebody outside that says, you know what, when Danny Dimes drops back, 50-50 ball, double coverage, I don't care. I'm going to do it. And you talk about a big target like Galladay at like 6'3", 223 with a huge catch radius. Mm-hmm. It allows you for those off-schedule plays. Danny Dimes is a lot more mobile than people give him credit for. Listen, Danny Dimes is, to me, his skill set is very similar to Josh Allen. I mean, you saw him get to 21 miles an hour. Now, listen, he couldn't stay up on his feet, but he got there, right? He got up to 21 miles an hour, and he redlined. But it's okay, right? Now, maybe if he keeps it at 20 – you know, he'll be okay. He'll be able to stay on his feet. But he's so much more athletic than people give him credit for. And his ability to be able to make these off-schedule plays, you want a big play receiver that when you buy time that you can throw it up and he's going to go and elevate above everybody. Galladay gives you that offer. And I'm just surprised that the market is so small for Galladay, being that – you know, we only hear about the Bengals and the Giants. I would think that everybody would be on a guy like that, but that just signals that, hey, maybe, you know, the price is too high, too steep, and he's going to have a dose of reality, because it's not yesterday's market, it's today's market. Today's market is different from the $20 million to $19 million annually. And plus, the Giants always have, as a fallback, the ability to draft the receiver, because they're early in the draft as well, top 10 pick, I believe, this year.
Yeah, again, I guess if you're an NFL team as well, you try to use the fact that he didn't play a full slate of games last year due to injuries, and now you can use that as some type of leverage to bring that price down. He may have thought his price would have been this, but based on these other circumstances, we can bring it down. So maybe these conversations are longer than he and his agent were anticipating. But there are a couple other teams that have already added some quality wide receiver help to their roster, the Cardinals with A.J. Green and Washington now with Curtis Samuels. And you look at those respective teams in their division, Bart, obviously they've got to keep adding pieces if they're going to challenge for those division titles, because clearly, as bad as it was, the NFC East was still competitive within that division last year, and the NFC West may be the best division in football going into 2021. How do you see those two teams making those decisions at the wide receiver spot as it relates to their chances of winning their respective divisions?
I mean, man, you look at right now, you look at Curtis Samuel and reuniting with Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron. So that means that Ron has always been a believer in him. Now he gets to team back up with Terry McLaurin, you know, his college teammate. You think about, you know, Dobbins, the running back. You think about that defense is able to stymie anybody, right? You saw what they did to the eventual Super Bowl champs. Now they have the ability to go out and address some defensive issues. But if now with Fitzmagic or Fitztragic, whichever one he decides to be on that day, you know, he can light up a scoreboard. We talk about some of those games he's had in recent history when he filled in for Jameis Winston. Then we talk about the games that he had last year when he was a starter. He's a guy that can catch fire. And within that division, he doesn't have to be a great quarterback. He just has to be a professional and be able to take advantage of what his brain and his football acumen has taught him. Now, on the West Coast, that's a different story, because you have a young, inexperienced quarterback. They went all in after picking the top 10 quarterback, going back the next year, letting Rosen go and taking Kyler Murray because he felt like it was the best fit for his system. It was a match made in heaven. And listen, it hasn't disappointed. He was an MVP candidate last year. So now what do? You go out and you get him security. When I say insurance or security, mm-hmm. I talk about guys who don't drop passes. Larry Fitzgerald, A.J. Green. You talk about DeAndre Hopkins. These are 50-50 ball champions, and we forget about Christian Kirk in the slot that can stretch the football field, because you think about A.J., he may not be the deep threat that he used to be, and DeAndre Hopkins has been more of that Andre Johnson intermediate route runner, 10 to 15, 20-yard daggers that just takes your heart out and moves the chains. But now you have the ability, if you're Arizona, to do something that very few teams can do. And we haven't seen this in a long time. I don't think since like Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas, where you can go out there and go four wides and force teams to have to match up, but you still have big receivers, as Larry Fitzgerald can play the Hines Ward type of position and be a great blocker in the run game, but it forces you to have to match up. How many defenses do you know that have four good corners? I'll wait. Exactly. They don't really exist. Nah. So now you can still have a power running game out of four wides, but you don't know how to defend that, because now you have to not only defend the field horizontally, but you got to defend it vertically as well. So I think, you know, right now they're out there building something special, because you think what they did on the defensive side of the ball, you think about J.J. Watt, right? You think about Chandler Jones coming back. You think about Buda Baker. They let Patrick – jeez, I forgot his name. I do that all the time. the corner out there that they love, he went to Minnesota. I can remember that much. But I tell you what, you know, they're building something really good. You got Isaiah Simmons that they drafted. You know, they have the ability to really be special and compete within that division. That's what I think Russell Wilson is looking at more than anything. Like, yo, when did we become probably the fourth most talented team within our division? Because you look at what the Rams have, right? Studs all over the place. You look at what Arizona has, and now you look at what San Francisco has. Like, Russell Wilson's like, man, get me up out of here, man.
Yeah,
first
right.
First of all, you want me to lose and it's cold and wet around here all the time and I ain't even going to win? Nah, peace.
Look, if you're Washington or Arizona, you add a quality wide receiver. Washington, this move gives them the better chance to win their division, because their division is so weak, as opposed to the Cardinals, who needed this move clearly, but are they still the best team in the division? Can they handle the Rams to try to win that one? Probably not as easily as maybe Washington can win its respective division. You're listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next, the NCAA tournament. Here's my question. Outside of your bracket, how invested are you as a fan in watching the road to the Final Four compared to other years based on how this whole season came together? That's coming up next, ESPN Radio.
Patrick Peterson, by the way.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back to Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Michael Lee's in for Alan Hahn today, along with Bart Scott. Breaking moves from the NCAA tournament. More than 9,100 COVID tests have been performed. Only 8 positive through the Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 personnel that will be there in Indianapolis. And the one team is yet to arrive in Indiana is Virginia. Of course, they had a COVID situation last week, but they expect to arrive tomorrow. So as it stands right now, Bart, we're good to go with this tournament with whatever format we're going to have here in 2021. And I ask you, because I'm a college basketball guy growing up in Kentucky, and so I will say this. I don't have the same interest in the tournament this year because my team is not in there. That's number one.
No blue bloods.
Yeah, but number two, it's just the way the whole thing came together. I know that from a human nature standpoint, I'm going to look at this tournament differently, and I probably shouldn't, but that's just the facts. I probably will. What's your feeling on it?
I mean, what you're saying is if this is going to have an asterisk because you don't have the travel, you don't have the fans. Also, it's been a unique regular season.
Yeah.
You think about Baylor, you think about Gonzaga, you know, the big breaks that they got in between seasons to kind of stay healthy in between because of the COVID scare.
Yes.
Having to make up the games. And it's like, okay, we get here and, you know, is the best team going to win? We don't know what happens with COVID. COVID is the X factor, right? Because now you're asking college students to do what you ask the professionals to do for 3 weeks, and that's stay clean, make sure that you keep up with the protocol. And the crazy thing is, it's not the athletes that I worry about. It's the supporting staff. It's the dude that's coming in and want to cut the hair. It's the GA. It's the intern. You're asking all these guys to be disciplined and to be all in for 3 weeks, and nobody to make a mistake out of 9,100 people, and they're all going to be in some simulated bubble. And what happens if one of these good teams or one of these teams that's picked to be the favorite, you know, has an outbreak and have to leave the tournament? Then so it's so many things that have to go right. I think that, you know, I'll be shocked if we don't have a team, you know, that may have to leave the tournament. We saw it happen in the championships, and I know teams weren't ample to say, hey, I want to play in this because they didn't have to, right? But, you know, when you think about playing shorthanded and all that stuff, you're going to do that in this tournament because you're trying to win a national championship.
Look, whoever wins the tournament, I will recognize as the champion because they had to go through what all the other teams went through. All right, so if you win it, you deserve the title of national champion and you will have it forever. My issue would be comparing this champion to other teams long term, all time, pardon me, which we like to do. I think Gonzaga is the best team in the country and I think they're going to win. If they win, they're going to be undefeated. Last time we had an undefeated champion in the NCAA tournament was 1976 with the Indiana Hoosiers. That's how long ago it was. I won't look at them the same in terms of all-time teams. We can talk about that coming up a little bit later as well. Damon Woody's going to join us. But, hey, if there were a bracket of my favorite sports traditions, filling out a bracket would definitely be at the top of the list. I want to challenge you as well. Go to ESPN.com/bracket. You can boost your bracket against ESPN Plus. The bracket predictor is there. Sign up at ESPNplus.com. Michael Lee's in for Alan Hahn. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.